Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahavirjan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter, Madhya Lila, chapter 15. The Lord accepts prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Verse 215, 101 to 106, page 56. Srila Prabhupada. When one is situated on the neophyte platform, one cannot understand the devotional ingredients of a pure, unalloyed devotee. However, when the novice engages in devotional service, especially in deity worship, and follows the order of a bona fide spiritual master, he is a pure devotee. Anyone can take advantage of hearing about Krishna consciousness from such a devotee, and thus gradually become purified. In other words, any devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee, even though he may be in the neophyte stage. By his association, others may also become Vaishnavas. Because that's the point is they have faith, they can give you faith. Right? So that's the principle. So that's what he's saying. Someone who has that faith that the name is identical with the Lord, like that, you know, and he's heard it from the bona fide spiritual master, you know, follows his directions, then he's a pure devotee. He may be on the neophyte stage, you know, by his understanding of scriptures or his stableness and other things like that. But the point is he's a pure devotee. Because he's following in the proper line and everything. Hare Krishna. Does that make sense? Hare Krishna. You were looking for this place, or you took a wrong... You can sit over here.
Okay, sorry.
Hare Krishna. One is known as a materialistic devotee if he simply worships the deity of Hari with faith, but does not show proper respect to the devotees and to others. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47. Archayam eva hareye pujam yash shadhaye hate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu Sabhaktav prakritav smritaha. Even by associating with such a neophyte devotee, one can become a devotee also. Yet, because even there like that, you can still become a devotee. But the point is to be able to develop that mood of pure devotion, then that environment won't work as well. Right? Because the value of the Vaishnavas isn't very strong. Right, the deity worship is there, that faith in that is there. And so even that person you can take up and become a devotee. But the advancement, then you want to be in the association of pure devotees, because it's about how they have that faith in the name, the faith in the devotees. Yes. Like that. Yes.
When, in the early days when they were taught to ask Prabhupada, how many pure devotees do you have? And Prabhupada turned to one disciple and said, how many devotees do we have in Israel?
What happened? Came to the wrong place? Or? Huh?
Somebody wanted to go to the football game.
Oh, you were looking for the football game? Okay. saying, easy come, easy go.
So devotees said, it was every day, so that's 70, so we have 70 pure devotees. So Prabhupada meant by that, if you follow the process, if you follow the guru, even though you may be a neophyte,
yes,
you're on the right track, you're considered
a pure devotee. Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that such a pure devotee can give pure bhakti to someone else.
They can give faith.
You can give faith.
Because the point is, if you have faith, then you move forward.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah, because by that faith, then everything, that's where it starts from. The process starts from faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you want to maintain that faith. So you want to be careful that faith doesn't get misdirected into something else. You know, as Krishna says in the Chaturshloki, that he is everything. And so therefore, anything you value, you have to see in the context of him. And so then in that you're going to get some benefit that whatever you're doing, you're seeing, yes, it has this value for the movement and this and that. But you have to see that, is it coming in aropya or is it coming in pure? Because pure means this is how Krishna likes it. Aropya will be, I value this, and so therefore I may be connecting it to Krishna or not. And so if I connect to Krishna, that's nice, I'll get purified. But one has to understand is that when it's being done because it pleases Krishna. So that's what he's probably saying here, is that your that devotee is studying under the bona fide spiritual master, taking those instructions seriously, you know, like that, then it'll work. And then it works nicely. You know, it says especially deity worship, then it works. But then one has to, it's an attitude. Because pure devotion means, a pure devotee means they're interested in pure devotion. A mixed devotee means they're interested in pure devotion and, you know, like that. You know. It's like that. So then one has to be careful. So this becomes the confusing part, because we say pure devotee, you know, it's a, how you say this, it's generally a one statement. You know, pure devotee, nitya siddha, uttamadhikari, you know, it all goes together, even though they've said, huh?
Mahabhagavat.
Even though they've actually defined many different positions. But, you know, it's all part of the thing. So, difficulty comes, that's why then it's important to see is that how Lord Chaitanya defines these things. So, because in these discussions with the devotees at Kalina Gram and all that, that'll come up. So that, you know, who has that faith, who has, you know, by the chanting, you know, the regular chanting, one by who's seeing them, then they chant. You know, so how many times devotees are going down the street and somebody from the other side of the street shouts out, hey, Hare Krishna. So that's the point. That's the pure devotee. You know, because they're following, therefore they're carrying that mood. You know, so that's the thing, is if we're being, if we're carrying on others' behalf, you know, it says Prabhupada gives the example of the postman. Then it's not that you have to be the uttamadhikari to deliver the message. You have faith in it there, and you deliver it. So these overlapping things, we like it very, very cut and dry. He's either a pure devotee or he's a schnook, you know, something like that. It can't be anything, you know, we can't have these grade, you can't have overlapping of one and the other. You know, it's this kind of modern, simplistic kind of thing. It means it's standard neophyte kind of thing. But the point is one can be a neophyte pure devotee. Kashi Mishra, one of Lord's eternal associates, is classified as a neophyte, third-class pure devotee.
Not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in Varanasi, when the sannyasis are making all these comments about Lord Chaitanya, he didn't know the Shastra quotes to... you know, it doesn't bother his faith or anything. So he just went and mentioned to someone else who could deal with that. And then Lord Chaitanya decided, I'll go deal with this myself. So one of the things is how well they know Shastra. So they have the faith, but they can't necessarily tell you all the things and technical points like that. Yes?
Tapan Mishra.
Tapan Mishra. Yeah, Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra. One of the Mishras.
The Mishra is mixed.
Tapan Mishra.
Oh, yeah, Tapan Mishra.
Yeah, so like that, then you have to take these things and deal with them, and then they're situated like that. But it also says the same position, but they don't deal properly with the Vaishnavs, then they're not in that same position as a pure devotee. They're a neophyte, not a neophyte pure devotee, materialistic. Because if he's fixed in that nicely, that faith, following the order, and that's all he's doing, he's a pure devotee, even though he's a neophyte. But if he, you know, worships the deity with faith, it doesn't show proper respect to the devotees and others, you know, other living entities and this and that, then he's a prakrita bhakta, you know, our standard. So that means this can be there. Also in the Madhyama, they're going to be, that's the beginning of advanced devotional service, but you'll have those who will be more fixed in the rules, and then more who is about, you know, Vaishnavas and everything else like that. They're always going to be nicely dealing. They won't have the weakness of the neophyte well, but you'll also have a range there. Just like in the Uttama, you're going to have those who, that Rati has come to the point where they're associated with Krishna, and those who the Rati hasn't. So you're always going to have that range. But the point is that pure devotion is what one's trying to obtain. But that means then it's about pure devotion. You discuss pure devotion. So you know, because, you know, it's what you hear, what you dissociate with, that's what stands out in your mind. Yeah, so he said they're all pure devotees. So therefore, to look at the weaknesses of that period, that's not actually a proper understanding. Because if we look at the weaknesses that might be there from being a neophyte, and then try to adjust those social positions, but not looking at the pure devotional aspect, then you're not going to improve things, actually. You might get more sophisticated, because we have to remember, on the platform of Anamoy, an immoral person who's sophisticated is still just a fancy animal. He dresses well, he speaks well, but it's all for his own sense gratification. You know? Like that. He's a smooth talker, he's a good dresser, he knows all the people, he knows how to talk and do everything, but all just for his own benefit. You know, he doesn't really care about anything else. So, then you know, you add in we add in the moralism, but that's still not good enough. Because pure devotion means it's about Krishna, about the Guru. Does that make sense? Like that?
No. It seems that faith is the main thing.
Stress.
Faith.
Faith, yes, faith.
Like that, if a person has a faith in Krishna, even if there are some mistake or lack of understanding, he's considered a pure devotee.
Yes. It means it's not, yes, lack of understanding just means it hasn't matured. It means he has that faith, he's fixed in the faith. But it's just a matter of he may not know all the Shastric things and this and that kind of thing.
Yes, but it's supposed to come with time.
It will come with time. It will come with time. It's just a matter of time.
So the main thing is just to keep and maintain and develop the faith.
Yeah, keep that faith, but we see is here is in the association of Vaishnavas, the proper dealing with the devotees, with the deities, you know, that whole thing. So then you have that Jiva Doya Vaishnav Seva Namaruchi, mm-hmm. like that. Because a lot of times it's about the preaching, but then it's not about the devotees.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, you sometimes see it can be a weakness that sometimes the book distribution, because they're right out on the front lines and they're doing very special work,
yes.
and that's very important,
yes.
but they have to be very careful to not think that they're special.
Yes.
No, the book distribution is the special thing. And they're the servants that are able to do it. We saw Rupa Goswami, how expert he is in drama, but then he just says that, you know, I don't know so much, I feel, you know, insolent here, but at the same time, as just as the fire can purify gold, and that fire is coming from wood, you can even have a low-class person light the fire, and it will still purify. So even though I may not be very qualified, this drama will still have that effect.
Yes.
You know, so you know, he's taking that humble mood rather than, you know, we're the special guys, it's all about us, and you know, we're the important guys, everybody else is not up to the standard, everybody else is, you know, just not that serious and all that. But at the same time, is they're very comfortable to come back to the temple, take advantage of all the facility and all those kind of things, you know, all the things that aren't so important. So that kind of position, then it's not sustainable. We generally see those individuals like that, whatever their field, just like the same. Prabhupada gave the example in the deity worship. They worship the deity, they have the faith, but they don't respect the Vaishnavas. Or here is they do book distribution and preaching, and that, and they have that faith, you know, but they don't properly respect the Vaishnavas. Then there'll be that aspect, and they may find their steadiness is not going to be very good. So that's the whole thing. You have to have that faith, that association of Vaishnavas, because that's where Bhajana Kriya comes from, is the association of Vaishnavas. Faith came from association. Bhajana Kriya comes from association. So, yes?
Also, Maharaj, when we are preaching, we see as we mature, idea of preaching also changes. Like initially we think it's just, okay, we are loading some kind of knowledge about, you know, how to do certain activities, and if you do that, it's what is devotional service. And then it manifests more, okay, then actually it's more on the application under the instruction of authorities, but there is no test. But finally then we saw in the other things, like qualities, that how it's all about trying to give the same experience that she's feeling with Krishna. She's sharing to all the her friends, the gopi sakis, and then they are sharing the same thing to everybody. By the time they are feeling that 10 million times more bliss.
Mm.
And preaching is nothing but sharing the bliss.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes, that's the... Prabhupada says it's that the dati prati grinati. We're going out, we're giving this knowledge, people are appreciating, they're reciprocating by giving some donation for the books, like that. So it's not selling books. It's actually preaching, it's teaching. And then people, just like Brahmins, they teach and then the people reciprocate. Like that. But, you know, even if you don't, it's still you're going out, they're getting the benefit by having the books and doing some service. But yes, it matures. So it's not just that the karmis are all nonsense and this and that. No, turning away from Krishna is a nonsense thing. I mean, so when we're focused on Krishna, that's good. When we're not, that's not. The karmis, but they're all servants of Krishna, just they've turned away. And so then it's a matter of turning their attention back to Krishna. You know, because that if something's wrong and there'll be reactions for that, Maya's already taken care of that. You know, she doesn't need us to throw in our, you know, 2 cents, you know. So, when Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sanatana Goswami, he said, Shradhavan Janahaya Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyama Kanista Shraddha Anusari Yahara Komala Shraddha E Kanishta Jana Krame Krame Teho Bhakta Hoibe Uttama Rati Prema Taratamye Bhakta Taratama. A person who has attained firm faith is a real candidate for advancing in Krishna consciousness. According to the faith, there are first class, second class, and neophyte devotees. One who has preliminary faith is called a Kanista Adhikari, or a neophyte. Neophyte, however, can become an advanced devotee if he strictly follows the regulative principles set down by the spiritual master. Therefore, it is on the basis of faith and attachment to Krishna that one can judge who is a Madhyama Adhikari or an Uttama Adhikari. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulita 22, 64, 69, 71. It is thus concluded that even a neophyte devotee is superior to the karmis and jnanis, because he has full faith in chanting the holy name of the Lord. A karmi or a jnani, regardless of his greatness, has no faith in Lord Vishnu, his holy name, or his devotional service. One may be advanced religiously, but if he is not trained in devotional service, he has very little credit on the transcendental platform. Right? Because even someone who's very religious and all that, believes, has faith in God and things like that, that doesn't necessarily mean they have much credit on the transcendental platform. Because much of the time they're turning to God for their material benefits and facilities and all that. And they have that faith that it's his creation, he runs it, he's the boss, so you have to get his permission and his you know, and surrender and that. So that's a good thing. But it's not working within the context of pure devotion. And so it's not about developing that love for the Lord, therefore there's not going to be the transcendental benefits is not going to be so great. The religious benefit will be according to the particular individual, but the transcendental will be less. But religion is to develop that transcendental. That's the whole point. Because human life means you switch to the transcendental. The animals are already doing well in this world, right? You know, they're out there, they're doing things, and they're doing quite well. You know. So the point is human is meant to take whatever is their situation and bring it to the transcendental. So. Even a neophyte devotee engaged in deity worship in accordance with the regulations set forth by the spiritual master is in a position superior to that of the fruitive worker and the speculative philosopher. So even though they may be greater and more socially have a better standing and all that, we have to be very careful. Yes, we respect people that have these social standings. And the reason to deal with them is because they have influence on society. So if they're more Krishna conscious and they're leaning towards Krishna consciousness, then they can help like that. Or they become Krishna conscious even better. But that their position is something special and important, that's not at all. It's just like, you know, let's say in a dream you're the king, so that, you know, it's a better dream. When you wake up, you're still in the same bed. You know, it's not that you went to sleep and it was cotton sheets, and when you woke up, then it was, you know, satin sheets or something. No, when you wake up, it's still the same old sheets. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that one has to be very careful on this, because otherwise, sometimes, oh, we want to get in good and have them appreciate us. No. You know, I mean, appreciate us, oh, we're nice people, rather than they appreciate the message we have. You know, the practice, the goals we have, that you have to see. That's a difference. Rather than they acknowledge that, oh, I'm a nice guy, so I feel good because I'm a nice guy. You know, but it's not about that. It's about Krishna thinking you're a nice guy. Mm-hmm. 2:15:107. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person is relieved from all the reactions of sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada. As for being freed from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of Krishna only once, one must chant the holy name without committing any offenses. Then chanting one name is sufficient to rescue a living being from all sinful reactions. Such a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is very important and worshipable. Indeed, the 9 devotional processes, beginning with Shravanam and Kirtana, can be attained at once if one simply chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. Right? So that's the thing to go strive for, because we're saying, oh, someone's sinful, they have a bad attitude, they're impure, they have all kinds of attachment. But the only way is by chanting. So when one properly chants and everything, then everything's going to work. Otherwise, it's nothing else is going to get it. We don't see that the karmis are any more transcendentally situated, whether they have nice qualities or not. So that's not the path. The path has to be the chanting. So one has to have faith in the chanting. Because that we see is the strong point. That's what makes the pure devotee.
So there are people, I think Jesus mentioned Narayana Chintamani. When Haida Sakur brings up Bhakti Matakur talks about Nava Vas.
Yes.
There are people who don't know anything about Krishna consciousness, yeah, who are favorable, mm-hmm, who enjoy chanting, who don't, yes, make offenses.
Yes.
And they are on the Nava Vas platform.
Yes.
Because the Vaishnava is struggling to avoid offenses, who are not yet on the Nava Vas platform. As you say, it's faith alone that makes you grow.
Yes. Yes. So that's the, you have to see that aspect, because it's not by being more sophisticated or by being a more knowledgeable in this, it's by that faith developing and maturing. Because then if that's applied within the process of chanting and associating with devotees, then one can advance very nicely.
Because the people who chant on Namabha's platform, they have no faith at all. So at some point they will be challenged.
Yes, yes, of course. See, but Namabha's basically means it's not pure. And so I would say is that all devotees who have that faith are going to be chanting on Namabha's. But within that, they may be dealing with trying to avoid the offenses and that, while these other people, they don't really have anything to be offensive about. You know, it's just now and again they're happy, they chant or something like that. They see the devotees. So there's not going to be any offenses, so they go nicely. But as you mentioned, that if, then they're taking that association, they take up Bhajana Kriya, then now they're going to deal with Anartha Nivriti. Like that. Then you're going to have the clearing stage, and then you get to shoot him out. So Namabha's is so below what devotees are chanting, then you have all the others who are chanting at other aspects. They all think you have different varieties of Namabha's. But there's those who like the Maya bodies who they're chanting and they're showing ecstatic symptoms and all these kind of things. That's just, I think there, that that's, what is it? There's the term reflection?
Chaya.
Chaya Namabha.
And Pratibimba.
And Pratibimba, yeah. So you have those like that. But generally Namabha's, that's where the devotees will be situated. But you want, so these others, because you see, is that, you know, these kirtan guys come and, you know, these professionals, and they can, you know, do their slot of 3 hours, no problem, going through and showing all the static emotions and all that. But there's a good chance there's nothing, it's not even Namabha's. Because it's not that it necessarily that they have the hearing from the bona fide source, this and that. So that's why it says you don't want to hear from such people. So that's the discern there. But all devotees, and I would say they're dealing there, and then they have to just avoid the offenses. Right? But the point is that the important point here is that the faith is there, that the name can clear everything. The person who can take advantage is someone who's chanting purely. Right? Like that. Not that, no, only if, because I've heard that before, is no, only if, oh yes, you know, so one holy name can remove more sin than the universe can commit. And then say, no, but only if it's pure. But then it's like as if we're the ones controlling it? No, it's that the statement is fine. But the emphasis is on us chanting it purely. Only then is that, but no, it's a matter, the name has that potency. So then we want to connect ourselves with that name, rather than no, it's up to, he's not chanting pure. What about the name? You know what I'm saying? It gets more about down to the ritual. So it's the same words. It's just where the focus is. Yes.
Sachinamin Maharaj, he was doing one of his pratas in Vrindavan, and he was chanting, you know, and then one sadhu was observing him, obviously, in Vrindavan, and then one day he came to him and he said, so what is your idea? Are you chanting the name, or the name chants you? And they just walked away. So then Sachinamin Maharaj, being, you know, deep sadhaka, was thinking, so what is my idea? Are we chanting like you explained? If we project what is pure, what is impure, what is chaya, what is this? So, but actually, name is the name. It's always pure. Nothing can touch it.
Yes.
But then if we understand the glory of the name, then the chanting is on a different level. Otherwise, it's our conditioning.
Yeah, but still, yeah, of course. But this is in the context of pure chanting. But this still is that they're chanting, then that's always a good thing, because they've heard from bona fide source, they're following that and all that. So in that way, then they'll be a pure devotee. But the point is that you can go farther. You know, it's like Lord Chaitanya with Ramananda Rai. He says something that's perfectly proper, but then Lord Chaitanya says, you know, we can go further. Yeah. So it's not a ritual. It's associating with Krishna. So we may get into it's ritualistic. I got to chant my 16. Like sometimes I was seeing, you know, a long time ago, you see the somebody finish their rounds. Ha, okay, done. Yeah. You know, like I accomplished it. You know, which is a nice thing they're doing for Krishna. But the point is it's a matter of, you know, all day you're chanting. So you got your 16 rounds, but it's not that now you're done chanting. No? So as you know, Prabhu said, it's a particular mood. Because we're servant of the name, so we're carrying the name. It's not that we're the one that's, you know, performing the ritual. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Not football game. Yeah. Indeed, the nine devotional processes, beginning with Shravana Kirtan, can all be attained at once if one simply chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. So all benefits that are there, because all these are connected with Krishna, serving Krishna. So if you're chanting purely, then you're in association with Krishna, and so then everything's attained. Because everything's to obtain Krishna, and you're already with Krishna. So, yeah. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami states in his book, Bhakti Sundarbha 173, Yadyapi anya bhakti kalau kartavya tada kirtanakya bhakti samyogain aiva. Out of the nine processes of devotional service, kirtan is very important. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore instructs that the other processes, such as archan, vandana, dasya, and sakya, should be executed, but they must be preceded and followed by kirtan, the chanting of the holy name. We have therefore introduced this system in all of our centers. Archana, arti, boga, offering, deity dressing, and decoration are all preceded and followed by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So you have the Mangal arti. Then you do all these other aspects. Then there's a kirtan when you take darshan of the deity. Then discuss Bhagavatam. It's also kirtan. And then, of course, Tushar. 2:15:108. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, one does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, Chandala, can be delivered. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami explains Diksha in his Bhakti Sandarbha 2:8:3. Notice it's a 108. It always has these very serious, you know, somehow or another, that verse is always something very special.
And 101. Hmm?
Yeah, 101 is, yeah, the basic, the fundamentals, and like that. So
because
there's
the beach seed and what will drop.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that'll be the bindu. And this will be the... Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami explains Diksha in his Bhaktisandarbha 2:8:3. Divya jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya sankshayam tasmat diksheti sa prokta Deshikais tattva kovidai. Diksha is the process by which one can awaken his transcendental knowledge and vanquish all the reactions caused by sinful activity. A person expert in the study of the revealed scriptures knows this process as diksha. Yeah. So the process by which you awaken the transcendental knowledge, so you're going to do the activities that are going to then give that knowledge and detachment. Right? So then the deity worship in that. So then the connection to that, that's the diksha. But the whole point is you're trying to attain is diksha. How are you following those things, those activities by siksha? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
It's very, well-known verse among the Vaishnavas, and then although it is said you don't need diksha,
mm-hmm.
but Srila Prabhupada, it's a long purport. Mm-hmm. And then all he explains is how you need the diksha.
Yes, yes. No, but you don't need the diksha to start chanting. This is all still Prabhupada, no? Yeah, no, it's a very long report. Yeah, it goes for 3 pages. No, it means to chant. See, is that like Gayatri, without initiation, it will not work, literally. That's why Prabhupada puts it in the books. It doesn't matter, because someone chants it, if they're not initiated, it'll have no effect. But the holy name, even if you're not initiated, or done Purusharya Vidhi, it will work. And it will bring you to the point where you have that appreciation, that you, then you'll take diksha. That's the whole thing. These other, it's not understood. Brahma Gayatri, these other, they're not going to give you any benefit. You know, like that. Okay, Om. But, we're chanting Hare Krishna. So that's the unique thing, is that Hare Krishna mantra is beyond these things. You know, just like, let's say, for Shaligram Shila or for Giriraj, you don't need to install, because they're directly the Lord. The archa, then, that's the form is great, but then you install to make it official. But with them, you don't. You just start the worship by doing, do something nice. So the same as the holy name is directly the Lord. And the other ones, then they'll reciprocate if you have the material qualification. So in other words, if you're manifesting goodness, you can chant these mantras. If you're not manifesting goodness, they won't work. That's why then the holy name, everybody can chant. Then you come up to the point, you get the Harinam, then you get the second, and it takes some time. Depending upon who you're dealing with, it's like what you mentioned, Sachinandan Maharaj, I think it's about 10 years. Yeah. And so the whole point is that you have to see what's the qualification. So, yes.
Okay. Then we talk about the chit shakti, the palms and the parampara.
Yes.
For chanting the holy name. So what does
that mean? Yes. But that's the point. You've heard from someone as bona fide, and that's enough. The devotees, bona fide devotees doing Harinam down the street. You've heard it. Now you've heard it. Now you can chant it. Like that. But if you have the Wallace come over from India and do the yoga circuit and do kirtan and all that, then you can hear that and there'll still be no benefit. There'll be piety from it. You'll get more piety from that than probably anything else you can do. But you won't get the transcendental benefit. Like you mentioned before, Prabhupada mentioned on that religious activity. One may be advanced religiously, but if he is not trained in devotional service, he has very little credit on the transcendental platform. Like that. So you won't get that. So it's a fine point is that it's Krishna. And so when it's heard from the devotees, you have that potency. But then so you may not have any good qualities, but by chanting, associating, serving, then you get purified so that you get to the point where you're steady enough, because goodness means that you're steady in service. You have that duty, that attitude of duty and things like that. And so then that qualifies you to chant. So that's the whole point. It requires that your conditioning has to be brought up to a certain level, while the other doesn't. So that's why sometimes these smartas and others like that, they don't understand it, because they says, how can you do all these things? They don't understand this potency is coming from the name. So by the glory of the name, we get qualified. So if we're getting the Brahma Gayatri, we're getting the Pancharatra Gayatri, that's only because of the glories of the holy name. Otherwise, then, not we're not necessarily, on the we're not on the short list, you could say, for people who have good qualifications. Is that like that? The regulated principles of Diksha are explained in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 2, 3, and 4, and in the Bhakti Sandarbha 2, 8, 3, as stated. Dvijanam anupetanam svakaramad yayanadishu yata dikaro nastiha syach chopana yanad anu tatatra di chitanam tu mantra devar chanadishu nadikaro yata kuryad atmanam shiva samstutam. Even though born in a Brahmin family, one cannot engage in Vedic rituals without being initiated and having a sacred thread. Although born in a Brahmin family, one becomes a Brahmin only after initiation and the sacred thread. Unless one is initiated as a Brahmana, one cannot worship the holy name properly. So you can take up the holy name, and by the chanting of the holy name, he'll make you qualified that you can take initiation, so now that you can progress very nicely. So that's the thing. The Gayatris and that, and all, and the, you know, the Pancharatra and the tantric mantras, they can't do that. So that's why it's generally, if you don't have these things, you don't have them. Does that make sense? Someone's born in a Brahmin family and this and that, then they may be able to, you know, have that basic qualification and go like this. But otherwise, then no. So it's by the potency of the holy name we become qualified. That's the whole thing. So we can't take it too far one way. You know, like Prabhu points out, it's Prabhupada's saying in this whole thing, you have to get initiated. At the same time as this other thing is that, you know, emphasizing too much goodness, this, that. It's all coming from the holy name. We say, no, we have to come to the platform of goodness. How are you going to do that? It's just by chanting. You can't take people not on the mode of goodness, and then there's some process to get them to goodness in this age other than chanting. It's not going to happen.
This is what Brahmanas told the devotees when they first came to India. They said, you can't attain that, you've got to take birth again. And that, maybe.
Yeah.
It's Jewish.
Huh?
It's a Jewish tradition.
Yes, of course.
So maybe they're from there.
No. Yeah, yes, they're from there. These guys, next life, then head a little farther west.
So, when devotees take initiation, of course, it's the objective is Vaishnava, not Buddha. Ramana is qualities.
Yes.
So, in our Krishna consciousness movement, when devotees join, get initiated, and they become Brahmanas both by initiation and by qualities. When their children are born, can we say that those children are born from Brahmin families?
Yes, you can be born there, but the thing is that doesn't make you as such specifically qualified as a Brahmin.
Yes, of course.
But yes, that's there, but still they have to qualify themselves.
So it means if the devotees, they didn't receive yet Brahmin initiation, it's technically not a Brahmin.
Then they're technically not a Brahmin.
Yes. Because I heard that from my son.
Yeah, you get all those different things.
Yeah. Because I was not yet initiated, second initiated.
Yeah, what to do? Brahmana means one who knows Brahman. So any devotee knows Brahman. It's like that. But it's just a matter of these things are something to help. But you'll have to know is that it's not that. It has its importance. You know, it's there. It's what is supposed to be done. But at the same time, it's not the main point. The main point is the chanting. You know, just be like, okay, you have to cook this preparation, you know, and so the cooking is the thing you're going to do. Make sure you use this pot. Right? And so it's not about the pot, it's about the cooking. So then we get distracted about the pot, and the discussion is all about the pot. While someone else is sitting over on the other side of the kitchen actually cooking, we can be sitting around discussing about the pot. It's a fine point. Of course, then there is going to be just like we have our tradition, what we do, and everything like that. But at the same time, is we can accommodate that somebody can do beyond that. So the reaction to that we that people not understanding that, then they may emphasize more on these traditional forms and all that. Then they have a reaction that we don't need all these forms and all that. That's even more lack of understanding. And it'll generate even more than those who are, following the tradition. So we have to be very, very careful, is that it's all about chanting the holy name, following tradition, following the things that the acharyas have given us. And so they're pointing out these are all very essential things. Because, probably make the point, is, I don't know if it'll come up here, is that when you take initiation, then Krishna recognizes, okay, this person's serious. Right? Because then Prabhupada mentions that then establishes one, that one is situated. So he expected that someone who took second initiation would be situated as now in a nishta. Like that. So they would be at that point a madhyama. And so that's the beginning of advanced devotional service. So Krishna takes them seriously, because if you've surrendered to the devotee, now you have a relationship with him. But if you're not surrendered to the devotee, then means you're there, Krishna's in the heart, he's hoping and all that, but how does the relationship work? Who are you coming, who are you connected through? What's the commitment? So
I think traditional example is that it's a change of an identity. Mm. As a young girl, she gets married.
Right.
Before marriage, she is a daughter of such and such.
Right.
And as soon as she is married, she's a wife of such and such.
Yes.
So this is explained in tradition. Mm. It's a change. Not that she doesn't have a relationship with her father.
Right.
But
right.
Her main focus, it's that family. Mm-hmm. She belongs to the husband.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So our main is the holy name, but these things are there. So they're not light, but they're not the main thing. So that balances that. It's very important, but at the same time, it's just not all about that. So that's the thing, is when the mood's right, then you can stay on that. Otherwise, we get distracted by these, necessary, but secondary elements. Like that. But diksha is not a secondary element. I'm just talking about we do it on everything. So then, even though born into Brahmin family, one cannot engage in... Okay, we did that. Unless one is initiated Brahmin, one cannot worship the holy name properly. Why? Because you won't be stable enough. When do you get initiation? When you show that point of stability. So then that means now the spiritual master is recognizing, therefore Krishna is recognizing, you're serious about chanting. According to the Vaishnava regulative principles, one must be initiated as a brahmana. The Hari Bhakti Vilas 2.6 quotes the following injunction from the Vishnu Yamala. Adikshitasya vamaru kritam sarvam nirarthakam pasho yonim avapnoti diksha vira hito janaha. Unless one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, all his devotional activities are useless. A person who is not properly initiated can descend again into the animal species. Hari Bhakti Vilas 2.10 further quotes, Ato gurum pranam yaivam sarvasvam vini vedya cha grihniyad Vaishnavam mantram diksha purvam vidhanataha. It is the duty of every human being to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, giving him everything, body, mind, and intelligence. One must take Vaishnava initiation from him. The Bhakti Sandarbha 298 gives the following quotation from the Tattva Sagara. Yata kanchanatam yati kamshyam rasa vidhanataha. Tata diksha vidhanena Dvijatvam jayate narinam. By chemical manipulation, bell metal is turned into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated, he acquires the qualities of a brahmana. Right, because the quality of the brahmana is focused on Brahman. You know, it's not the ritual, it's that's the... The Hari Bhakti Vilas 17:11-12, in discussing the Purushcharya process, quotes the following verses from Agastya Samhita. Puja traikaliki nityam japas tarpanam eva cha hamo brahmano bhuktis cha purushcharyam purushcharanam uchyate guror labdhasya mantrasya prasadena yatavidhi panchan gopasana siddhyai purushchaitad vijayate. In the morning, afternoon, and evening, one should worship the deity, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, offer oblations, perform a fire sacrifice, and feed the brahmanas. These five activities constitute Purushcharya. To attain full success when taking initiation from the spiritual master, one should first perform these Purushcharya processes. The word pura means before, and charya means activities. Due to the necessity of these activities, we do not immediately initiate disciples in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. For 6 months, a candidate for initiation must first attend arti and classes in the shastra, practice the regulative principles, and associate with other devotees. When one is actually advanced in the Purushcharya Vidhi, he is recommended by the local temple president for initiation. It is not that anyone can be suddenly initiated without meeting the requirements. When one is further advanced by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds daily, following the regulative principles and attending classes, he receives the sacred thread, brahminical recognition, after the second 6 months.
That's right.
Well, that was India.
Oh.
Like that. I mean, at least by the 70s. Maybe it was like that in there, but it continued like that in India. And that, but in the West, it was generally the second was 1 year after. So it was 6 months, then 1 year. So 1.5. But in India, it was 6 months, 6 months, because generally anybody who could survive India, it was already tough enough. So they took 6 months, and, you know.
You guys found the missionary.
Which 6 months? The summer? Any 6 months?
Yeah, they're both a problem. So the Purushcharya Vidhi, there's that purification before. Worship the deity, that means, you know, attending the Mangalarti, the Guru Puja, circumambulation, Charanamrita, all these things. Chanting Hare Krishna, offering oblations, so they're doing some kind of aspect within the Sankirtan movement, performing a fire sacrifice, feeding the Brahmins, you know, then distributing prasad, and all these kind of things. So they're always engaged in activities connected with, you know, here, you know, how you say, those aspects associated with the devotees, the activities of devotional service, the deity worship, the pancharatrik process. Then by that they become qualified. So that's how it's happening.
Yeah.
Like that. It's not happening because of something else. Right? And, yeah.
Maharaj, this is a full program of new Bhakta program. 6 months.
Yeah. Like that means you formalize it before. I think I'm not sure when Bhakta programs came up. I think it was mid 70s. Like that, yes, like that. He formalized to make sure it's going on. But otherwise, earlier all temples, everybody just trained everybody.
Yes.
You walked in the door, the whole temple was guru. They were telling you. There's nothing you could do that somebody didn't tell you something. You know? Like that. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas 17:4-5 and 7, it is stated, Vina yena nasidhasyan mantra varsha satarapi kritena yena labate sadako vanchitam phalam purascharana sampanno mantra hi phala dhayaka atha puras krityam kuryat mantra vid siddha kankshaya Puras kriya hi mantranam paranam viryam uchate Viryahino yata dehi sarva karmashu nakshama. Purascharana hino hi tata mantra prakirtitaha. Quote, without performing the Purushcharya activities, one cannot become perfect even by chanting this mantra for hundreds of years. But one who has undergone the Purushcharya Vidhi process can attain success very easily. If one wishes to perfect his initiation, he must first undergo the Purushcharya activities. The Purushcharya process is the life force by which one is successful in chanting the mantra. Right? So when he's saying the mantra, that means the Gayatris. Like that. Without the life force, one cannot do anything. Similarly, without the life force, Purushcharya Vidhi, no mantra can be perfected. So it's not that just you're smart, you're intellectual, and so therefore then you should get second. No, if you're not performing the practical applications and devotional service, you won't get qualified. You may chant the mantra, but you won't actually get the actual understanding. So that's the whole point, is that this process is important. And people may put these things on the side because, you know, we're liberal and this and that, but we have to already understand Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas are already liberal. It's not that now we take it, they're the smartest and now we're the liberal ones. That will definitely keep you in the material world. Right. You have to appreciate that they've already streamlined, like Prabhupada said, is here all these technical points, but the worship of the deity, everybody is taking part in the deity worship by seeing it.
Yes.
Then only those with second initiation go on the altar, do the puja, but just by coming to the temple, because we see when it mentions about the process, you're already getting up, taking your bath, everything, putting tilak, chanting like this so you can go to the temple, then ringing the bell, offering obeisances, mm-hmm. taking darshan, singing songs like that. Then you're going to worship of Tulsi, worship the Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name. These are all parts that are necessary in deity worship. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll be starting with the Abhigamana and the Swadhyaya, the first and fifth. And then those activities are how we're going to be. And then within Ija, the 16th item, you know, which means all the extra stuff that's not going on in the closed doors. Because like that, then everybody's engaged in deity worship. And so without that, the practical service, without chanting the holy name, then they're not going to be qualified. So this is just the way it is. And so we have a way of doing it. It's very simple, it's very open. Our Prabhupada's morning program that he gave is the most complete pancharatrik program there is that anybody follows. And everybody can take part in it. So it's very, very, you know.
Standard?
Sorry?
It's not a standard program?
Not all the way we put it together, that everything is there. All the five items are all there. You're hearing Bhagavatam, the association of devotees, you're chanting, you're worshipping the deity, you're in the temple.
Others, they do it differently?
They'll go for darshan and then go out. You know, like this. You don't see anyone doing like what we're doing. Gaudiya Math is a little closer to what we're doing, but it's not quite as complete. It's very, very similar. But ours is even more. You know, the Charyanamrita is included, the circumambulation of the deities is included, you know, the prayers, all these different things are all there. And so we just take it as just standard. But if you study Pancharatra, then you understand that this is the most complete program you can get. It's very, very perfect. Yes?
We see that in other sampradayas, they do this whole program, but on special occasions. It's
yes.
not a daily affair for them.
Yes.
Like when you, even ordinary people, from childhood we know that when we go to temple, you can't just walk back. You have to sit there for some time. Nobody ever told why you have to sit there. Only when I became a devotee, then devotees told. Because always katha is happening. And then if you are sitting, you are hearing the katha. It's like an offense. Not to hear katha when it's going on, just take the darshan and go away.
Yeah.
But
yes. Yeah, because that's the point, is that you go to the holy place, should hear from the resident.
No, that's why when Indians, they come, they go generally for Mangalarti, and rarely you see them for darshan.
Yeah, no, they'll come for just one of them. They'll come at some point, come in, take darshan, do this and that, and, you know, off the since it's nice, and then go out. But the association with the devotees, the hearing the whole, you know, the kirtan, the holy name, these things aren't necessarily as prominent. So our morning and evening program, it's very, very special. So we're talking about being, you know, the developing the things nicely, being very professional, looking at other sampradayas. But these devotees that go to other sampradayas and all that and think that how they do it is how we should do it, it's like they're totally uninformed. You know, they are 100% going to disagree with this because, no, we know this mantra, this ritual, you don't know all that, but you don't know how to put it together. You know? That's all. It's just like, I know this, I know that. Yeah, but then what's the mood? How is it? That they're not going to, because you see, you go to them, what are they doing? Following Varnashram to get liberated. Did I leave anything out? So then, like that, we have some ritual, you want to add that, it's fine. But if you're going to take it and take their mood and everything, it's kind of like, that's totally unnecessary. We don't need that. We don't require it. So just as you have faith in the holy name, that just by chanting, everything is there. One has to have that faith that what Prabhupada's given, that it's complete. And whatever is necessary, he's referred to it. You want to know this? He mentions the book. You know? It's like these boys that go learn from other sampradayas, they absolutely cannot understand Sakriya Sardipika of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. No. Because how the Shris do it, it looks more technical, but it's actually more simple. Our stuff is much more developed, much more deeper in philosophy, much more in line with Braj. Well, their stuff is not. And they cannot understand that at all. No, it's we did this technical thing with the pot that you didn't do. Yeah, but we did technical stuff with the yajna you'll never be able to do in 10 lifetimes. So they just don't understand. So that's the whole thing, is that that's why it's important that what Prabhupada and the Acharyas have given, this is the program. We don't have to make up our own systems, go to other sampradayas, make our own society. We don't have to do that. We just follow this. It works. And people not understanding it, yes, got all these different things, and yes, all these things are there, and definitely you're going to get some, you know, transcendental credit for it. But whether you'll get pure unalloyed devotion in Braja Bhakti, that's another discussion altogether. I mean, seriously altogether. Because we have to remember, where is Gopal Bhatta Goswami from? Yeah. How many are learning from Sri Rangam? Right? They're going to other guys. And then he comes and he writes the book and they can't understand it. Those who go to the Shris to learn all the technical rituals and then come back and try to stuff him down ISKCON's throat and saying that we know this and that, you guys don't know anything and all that. They can't even understand our own rituals. Yeah. Yes.
Also, Maharaj, from childhood, it's a standard thing in South India, especially the home welcoming, like in home, new home when you go in, they perform Satyanarayan Puja.
Mm-hmm.
You sit for the whole ritual, it's like, if you do a home, it's like 2 hours. And then, in between the puja, he spits in the exact moment, he tells the katha, the story. And then the beginning of the story said, you do the whole ceremony, but if you don't hear about the glories of the Lord, it's all of no fruit.
Yes.
And it's like very evident, like hearing and chanting is the most important.
Yes.
And it is told, repeated, but still it's not taught.
It's not taught. Because it's transcendental. And we want something in passion and ignorance. Because, you know, goodness is like out of the question. You know. Because, how you say, non-theistic moralism is not mode of goodness. right? The modern social moralism is to assist economics. It's not about assisting Dharma. It's about assisting economics. It's that everybody wants to gain something. And so then you have your morality that allows, you know, whatever groups are within the context of your consideration, that they can pursue their particular sense gratification. And, you know, it's all right. That, you know, it's like, you don't bother me, I don't bother you. If there's some place that we can cooperate, then that's good. And that's what mundane morality is about. It's about the economic development. But not based on non-theistic morality. It's based on non-theistic morality. It's just what's good for the social. And of course, they're going to try to present it as if it's religious, but, you know. But that's the whole point. Bhavishyapurana says the, you know, our Acharya from Nazareth, that he lived Dharma, you know, religion, but he preached sub-religion. No, Artha. I mean, he didn't preach Dharma, he preached Artha, because that's the only thing that they could catch. You know, as it was, you know, if you're on Anamoy, bring up to Pranamoy, you're doing good. Yes, a step up. So you see, then that faith comes and that, and they, you know, they'll have the faith, but then the other things are so.
Still, they didn't take it.
No, of course not.
Too elevated. Artha was too elevated.
Yes, Artha was too elevated. And then after that, then you know, you get something going like that, and then some guy takes it off course.
So what should a Prabhupada introduce, like the whole morning program and evening program, was not necessarily what the Gaudiya was following.
It's very close to what they're following, but it has more detail in it.
And those details you got from Goswami Vichara.
Yeah, it's just standard stuff. The standard things. It'll be very similar like that, but it won't have quite the same. The mood is also different, the emphasis on it, who's there for the programs. It's not like everybody's there, and that's where the community sense is. So it's just, it has to be appreciated that the Acharyas know all the literatures, like we see Rupa Goswami and Ramananda Rai. How expert they are in the drama, the detail they're giving. And they talk about the terms and everything, and it's mentioned there that they know that. A very technical thing. And you see even in the purports, Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta says when Thakur, they're all quoting Sahitya Dharma and this, that. So the stuff that the Acharyas know, but only where it's useful in Krishna's service is it brought out. Otherwise, they don't need credit for knowing all that. Like that. So that's the point, because the identity is that of a devotee, not of a scholar. So this whole kind of emphasis, no, we have to be scholars, we have to be managers, we have to be this and that, that's not said anywhere by anyone who's a pure devotee. Where we see ourselves as devotees. This may be our service that we render, and we may be very expert at it, but it's never an identity. As soon as it becomes an identity, it's an upadhi. And upadhis, then they work here. You know? Probably you'll get more benefit out of a chapati than an upadhi. You know? Huh? Yes.
One of the points we learned from Chaitanya Charitamrita is that Mahaprabhu met with all the representatives of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas.
Mm.
And if we look carefully, we understand that their goal is four kinds of Vaishnava liberation.
Yes.
Nobody preached Prema. That is what was not given before Mahaprabhu. He said Prema Pumarta Mahan, that's the thing.
Yes.
Everybody else,
it's about Vaishnava liberation.
Yeah.
Even if it's because sometimes it's said, well, Nimbarkas, and you know, it's about Radha and Krishna, yeah, and spontaneous devotional service, but it's not about Braja Prema. So So that pure unalloyed devotion is not preached. It's not known, because that's the point: is that you're bringing all the preliminaries, and Lord Chaitanya then reveals the whole thing. And as we see is as it's revealed, then you see is that the Vedic literature is itself the philosophy is the Chintabhedabheda Tattva. It's not that, oh no, you have all these different. No, it's a Chintabhedabheda Tattva. Chintabhedabheda Tattva includes these other. So it has to be appreciated what we have. But at the same time, as there's no need of any attitude connected with it. You know, it doesn't have the upadis. And one can say is no, but for preaching is that Prabhupada could talk to anybody, preach to anybody, and they all appreciated his position. Because he just spoke about pure devotional service. And it works on everybody. So these other things, it's like, yes, it may be we have a conditioning that we want to engage. Great, engage it. But don't try to say that this is the standard in the society. It's not. The acharyas, Prabhupada, and the acharyas have already given the standard. We just have to follow them. And then you engage your conditioning accordingly. You know? So. Okay, so the purusharya, in other words, performing devotional activities under the guidance of the spiritual master, that's the life force of the mantras. That's the whole thing. You're chanting the holy name, you're following the instructions, you're engaged in devotional service, that's going to give life to the mantra. Like that. Okay. I think, but I'm not sure where it is. It might be, if it's in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about Nam Atmika mantras. There's Nama and Nam Atmika mantras. Anyone's heard these terms? You've heard. Nama means the holy name. It's directly Krishna. Nam Atmika means those mantras where the name is their Atma. Their soul is coming from the holy name. It means the Gayatri mantra, if we're not chanting Hare Krishna, it won't have any life. You know, we won't be qualified and it won't have any life. And some can say, no, but we're from very pukka, Brahmin families. And that. Okay, yes, maybe you can chant the Brahma Gayatri, but the Pancharatrik, he says, what misconstrued idea do you think because you're born in a Brahmin family you're qualified for Pancharatrik mantras? Pancharatra is above, that's Dwija. You're qualified for Dwija, but not Dwija. Even in the Vedic, you see these great sages and that are Dwijas, they stand out amongst the sages. Those who know the Shrauta, yeah, you know all those things like that. That means that, you know, everybody listens to them. So even that, we're being offered that. Maybe you don't know all the technicalities, but the point is that position of knowledge and seeing it connected to the Lord, the depth of what's being offered is something that's again never been offered before. You know, and this is right in the heart of Kali Yuga. And these are all people from other yugas. So it's a very, very special thing. It's not understood. Because if you have Krishna taking the mood of Radharani from Braja Krishna taking the mood of Radharani in Braja, then he comes with all Radharani's personal associates. Right? And then they give, it's not going to be the highest. It's not going to be the topmost. But you see what's the conversation there between Srivas Thakur and Sri Damodar? You know, Vaikuntha, this nice, this, and all this majesty and that. And Vrindavan, some sticks, some twigs, some grass. You know? Like that. You know, the devotees were all enjoying the mock, argument here. But the point is if we think it's just that, and all this, look at all this, this is so... Then, we've missed the point. There is nothing higher than what's being given by these, by Prabhupada and the Acharyas. And how do we know that? Because others read the Acharyas' works like that, but when you read them through the founder Acharya, then you actually understand what they mean. That's very important. It's very significant. Otherwise, yeah, it's just some other thing, and yeah, he started ISKCON. No. You can't understand what Rupa Goswami or any of them say unless it's, you see it through what Prabhupada says. And those who try to see it without Prabhupada, they end up somewhere else. Like that. You know, good luck to them, but we're not interested. So it's very, very special. You know, it's just what's been given, if it's appreciated, and then you can see that what the others have, and then it's all nice, it's all bona fide, it's wonderful. You go to a festival, the Shris have done, it's wonderful. Lord Chaitanya, that mood of festival and serving Vaishnavas, Prabhupada took from the Shri line. He didn't take yagyas. Sorry to say. Festival and Vaishnava Seva. So that's the...
I was watching the interview of, I'm not sure which one is the old or the new of the two Puri Maharaj. Not promote Puri Maharaj, but the other Puri.
Means not promote Puri, means the, what was his name?
And the Gopinath.
Gopinath, that's promote Puri.
Yeah, the other Puri Maharaj.
Ah, the preacher.
The preacher. Yes.
Okay.
So it was, you know, he was being interviewed so he can share his memories of Prabhupada. So, you know, and he's, I mean, his English is so good, but his accent is very strong, and he kind of smiles all the time, you know. And then he stopped talking about the beginning of ISKCON and how the devotees were doing all sorts of mistakes, and, you know, this sannyasi and this controversy and this. And then at some point he just burst out crying. And he said, but no one has done what Swami Maharaj did. Nobody can do this. Mm. No one can spread like he has done.
Yeah.
Amazing to watch when he
does. Yeah. No, it's just there. Those who are honest, they see. The other Sampa, they see it. Like that. So, but the point is we can't, it's not that therefore we become proud. We should be humbled by the opportunity that we're at something so special and so wonderful and so rare. It's like we're saying once in a day of Brahma. That means there is not 1,000 Kali Yugas in a day. You know? Mm-hmm. And how is it that we're in the one where this is being offered? One, that means there's 999 other options. But this one, how rare it is. So we should be very, very careful to not see it that it's just something, just, you know, this or that, or, you know. Mm-hmm. You just stick to this and it works. Like that. Because the problem is the corporate, you have to have attitude. Well, for the Vaishnavas, it's through their humility. But it's not a humility mean that they're not confident. That's the problem. In the West, humility is taken as that you're weak. But the Vedic, only if you're strong can you be humble. That's the thing. One needs the purity, one needs the strength. Then you can make it work. Then it has the power. In his Bhakti Sandarbha 283-84, Srila Jiva Goswami describes the importance of deity worship and initiation, diksha, as follows. Avasya katvam nasti tadvinapi sharana patyadinam eka tarenapi purusharta siddher abhi hi tavat tatapi Shri Naradadi Vartman Nu Sharadbhi Shri Bhagavata Saha Sambandha Visesham Diksha Vidhanena Shri Guru Charana Sampaditam Chikir Shadibhi Kritayam Dikshayam Archanam Avasyam Kriyetaiva. Oh.
More.
Okay. This is Bhakti Siddhartha. Okay. Yes, we're starting Bhakti Siddhartha. Yes. Okay. Yadyapi swarupato nasti tatrapi praya swabhavato dehadi sambandhena kadarya shilanam vikshipta chitanam jnanam tat sanchochi karanaya shrimad rishi prabritibir atrar chana marge kachin maryada sta stapi tasti. It is Srimad Bhagavatam's opinion that the process of deity worship is not actually necessary, just as the specific prescriptions of the Pancharatra and other scriptures do not have to be followed. The Bhagavatam enjoins that even without practicing deity worship, one can achieve the complete success of human life by any of the other devotional processes, such as simply offering oneself at the Lord's feet for his protection. Nonetheless, Vaishnavas follow the path of Sri Narada and his successors, endeavor to establish a personal relationship with the Lord by receiving the grace of a bona fide spiritual master through initiation. And in this tradition, the devotees are obliged at the time of initiation to begin engaging in deity worship. Although deity worship is not essential, the material conditioning of most candidates for devotional service requires that they engage in this activity. When we consider the bodily and mental conditions, we find that the character of such candidates is impure and their minds are agitated. Therefore, to rectify this material conditioning, the great sage Narada and others have at different times recommended various kinds of regulations for deity worship. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So there's always that point that it has to be accepted, the principle. It's just chanting the holy name in the association of devotees, hearing Bhava, that's enough. Like that. But the point is who's able to do that? So therefore, because the minds are disturbed, the impurities and all that, therefore then this process is there, the Pancharatric process of youth. And where is it coming from? Narad Muni. So Narad Muni, it mentions in the first canto that he's famous for the Pancharatric process, you know, of deity worship. And how do you say it? Naishkarmya bhakti. You know? In other words, engaging your nature in the Lord's service without desire for the result. So that combined with deity worship will regulate the life and purify anyone. And so it's coming from Narad Muni. So as much time we hear this first one, oh yeah, I don't have to do all that. But then do we qualify, do we pass the second paragraph of this, what Jiva Goswami is saying. So the point is because such candidates are impure and their minds are agitated. Therefore, to rectify this material conditioning, the great sage Narada and others have at different times recommended various kinds of regulations for deity worship. So following in that line, then we do. We're following in Narad Muni's line. So the Pancharatra is coming from him. So our daily lifestyle is a Pancharatric lifestyle. That's what we're doing. So Pancharatra is then taking all of the Vedic verses and all that that are directly about worshipping Vishnu and putting them all together in such a way that it can be practically applied. Right? Understood and applied. That's Pancharatra. So it's pure, it's completely Vedic, but it's only those Vedic things that are directly connected to the Lord. So those things then we do. You know, use times of day, we do certain things at different times and all those things. You know, like we have this class now. It's a very good time for that. You know. We don't have, let's say, this class riding on a bus to Krishnagar. Not a good time. You know. So you're going to choose these things of what you do and things like that because they're useful in that. So you're going to have the direct activities, then you're going to have the next supporting activities, then you're going to have the neutral activities, right? Like that. So that's then what is chosen for us. Then there's going to be things that are bona fide, but they're not good for us. Then there's things against devotional service. But these five levels then are seen. And so we have a mood, we have that. So in that fourth level, there are things that are bona fide. Others do, but we don't do. You know, then there's the neutral things that are supportive, but they're only useful because of their support. So one has to see it that this point is that the pure devotional service, you know, by hearing and chanting, then that's the prominent thing. But because of our position, we require this. So diksha is for those who are conditioned.
Yes.
And those who are, in other words, if you're conditioned and your natural position is below the point of uttamadhikari, you need pancharatra. Like that. You know, pretty straightforward.
Includes a lot of people.
If you're an uttamadhikari, just naturally, like Prahlad Maharaj, who does he say his guru is?
None.
Right? Does anybody doubt that? No. Did he? Was there a formal diksha? No, because as an uttamadhikari, by hearing from him, that hearing, he's completely convinced and committed. He doesn't go here and there. The pancharatra, because of our externalness, we require some external kind of program.
Yes.
Like that. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, exactly. They're parallel lines. You know, two lines, I think he gave two lines on the train. They're two. And he also, I think, even one purport about Yudhishthira Maharaj. He's a pure devotee, but he follows the Varnashram things. So the thing is for us, then we have the Bhagavat, we have the Pancharatrik, we have the Vedic. Even in our initiations, they're all three. The holy name we have, like that, but that we just got, you don't need an initiation for that. Then you have the Pancharatrik, you know, all the Guru, Gaur, and all those Gayatris. And then you have Vedic, which is the Brahma Gayatri. So like that, then all the, they're all there, they're all connected. And so then it's there. So it's, this is the whole point, is that there is the ultimate standard, and then, but there's practical, you have to apply it, and that's where then we come in. So this is then our position. So we can't say, oh, you know, it's Kali Yuga, we don't do that. It's because it's Kali Yuga, especially you have to do this. Like that. You know, as I said before, if you don't do this, you know, you won't make it. You know, no mantra can be perfected.
So Maharaj, when Acharya like Srila Prabhupada, he knows the edge, he knows the future, he knows the tendency, he knows the...
Yes. And he's written for 10,000 years.
Yes.
That's why he puts in these full shlokas.
Yes.
Because in the future, people know Sanskrit, and they'll be able to understand the subtleties there.
Yes.
You know, so it's all there. It's written for that. So this idea that, oh, we got to change it for the modern atheists like that, is then you'll end up with nothing. What will they like? You know? Because be nice, be good. They're not going to like any of the pure devotional stuff. They're not going to like any of the Varnashram stuff.
Yes.
They're not going to like any of the restrictions that we do. So what are you going to be left with?
Sanctification.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you'll be left with. It just struck me. It's already here. It's available. Amar Chitra Kota. You know the little comics? Kids read? You never seen?
Yes.
The Amarachitrakota, it's a huge volume of comic books that are based on all, generally all the Vedic stuff like that. Now they go in a little bit into also, they'll do some Buddhist stuff and some other things like this and all like that. And it's taking this original stories out of the Vedas, clearing out anything that's actually, makes it non-sectarian. Like that, though it does follow, you know, the tradition like that. And the only thing to be gained out of it is the moral thing on what you should do. Be nice to people, or, you know, don't take this, or don't be stupid, don't be proud. You
so
never
that's
saw?
That's Christianity.
Yeah.
That's straightforward Christianity.
Yeah, so that's what it's saying, is then if you have people from that background who's going to go in and want to change Prabhupada's books, that's what you're going to end up with.
So, they came this Torah, then Bible, now it's the comics.
Yes.
It's a bit of a degradation here.
Yes, yes. You know. Yeah, so one has to be very, very careful, because that's... Yeah, one has to be very, very careful, because we have to remember, things are being taken out. We had one devotee, was here in Mayapur long before. He was from... Where was he from? I forget where he was from. But he was a professor. And that, but he knew ancient Greek. He was fluent in ancient
language.
Yeah, the language, ancient Greek. And so because of that, then he had been asked to come down and photograph, you know, the microfiche and all that, when they used to do that before, all the library in a particular old Christian monastery that was in Sinai. And somehow or another, because of it, no one bothered and destroyed it. So they still had their library from thousands of years ago. And so then when he was looking at, because he can read the language, because it was all in ancient Greek. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about reincarnation. He said he's talking about all this stuff we talk about. So all that's been removed in the present day stuff. You know, it's just each conference they remove a little bit more. So that's the point. That's why Prabhupada says you don't change it.
The St. Catherine Monastery in the Sinai, it's the second biggest library after the Vatican.
Okay, really? So that's the one. So
it's still there.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's some
burned Alexandria.
Yeah, the decent untouched.
Yeah. So this one somehow or another, I forget what it was. He was explaining why no one bothered. Muslims didn't bother it. No one else bothered it. There was this particular reason.
Maybe they also had their books there.
Yeah, and so he was saying, because he was going in there, and I think it was like 6 months or longer, you know, filming, you know, taking pictures of all the, you know how they do for libraries, they photograph the books and then do it like that. So he was doing that, and so he was reading it at the same time, but he was just saying it's all the stuff we talk about used to be part of Christianity. Now you wouldn't have have faith, that's it. You know, that's it. You know, good starting point, but so one has to be very, very careful. That's why, you know, Prabhupada's given and all that. We try our best to follow. We may not be good at it, you know, like that Puri Maharaj was saying, you know, we may be quite atrocious at following, but the point is what's happened. That no, not so. We're not doing so well. We're going on. That was Puri Maharaj made the point. He says Srila Prabhupada has left. His mutt's going on fine. I haven't even left, and they're already fighting over who's going to take over after I go. And he was just saying, you know. So what Prabhupada's done is very special. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.